Hello, welcome to the New Stack Makers, a podcast where we talk about at-scale application development, deployment, and management. Hey, everyone. Hey, we're at KubeCon, and it is so exciting to have Kim Lewandowski and Matt Moore here. They are the founders of ChainGuard. They're two of the founders. As I understand, there's five founders, which you don't really find that often. Why'd you guys decide to do a five founder startup? And perhaps then we can talk a little bit about what the startup is.
Sure. So the five of us have been working together at Google for many years. Three of them had left Google a little bit before Dan and I, but we all knew each other very well. We've been working in the container space for a while. So we all kind of came together a few months ago and then decided to go on this journey together.
Yeah. Vila, Scott, and I, we're at VMware. We left Google about 2 years ago now. I think at the end of the month, it'll be 2 years. And we went to VMware for about a year. But before that, we were at Google. And it feels like we worked on and off amongst each other for across probably half a dozen projects over the past 6 or so years. And, we've been working together, and I think so well for so long that it was really exciting to the idea to come together and do this together.
So who are the other three then?
So it's the two of us. Dan Lawrence is our fearless leader and CEO. You may have seen the hair memes circulating. There's an Easter egg on our website if you can find it. And Vile Ikas and Scott Nichols.
And Vile and Scott, what were they working on with you at Google?
So let's see. So Vila has been in cloud for a very long time, and he connected with Scott starting to do some stuff in the Kubernetes, the broader Kubernetes space. I think they were working on the service catalog project together, which is one of the projects here. And then Vila and I hooked up a few years ago to we've been sort of working together on things sort of at a distance for a while. But we started the Knative project together about 3.5, maybe 4 years ago now. My sense of time with the pandemic is, and Scott joined us sort of soon thereafter. And that's mostly what we've been working on for the past several years.
And then Dan and I started the Tecton project,
right,
which was a piece of Knative
right
project, and then spun up the Continuous Delivery Foundation.
Yes.
And I think when we launched Tecton, that's when we really heard a common theme of security, all these companies just really concerned about security. And I think, and Dan's done a ton of container tooling things as well. And then a few years ago, Dan and I switched to join our security org in Google. Built another number of open source projects
and foundations
that have gotten some momentum. And then, of course, we know the Sunburst incident happened. So then a few months ago, we all kind of came together and then decided to start a company to make supply chain security. Supply chain secures by default is basically our mission, and making it really easy for developers to do the right thing and for companies to sort of understand what they're running in their clusters and how to supply or how to secure that supply chain, the integrity piece of it, to make sure nothing's sort of tampered with as they're pushing code and things to their production systems.
But when tell us about ChainGuard and how its roots really relate to, the projects you worked on at Google, and how is it related to SigStore?
Yeah.
And perhaps you could tell a little bit about what SigStore is.
Yeah. So, SigStore is one open source project that when we were at Google, we launched with in collaboration with Red Hat. And SigStore is making code signing really easy. So, we had been listening inside the Open Source Security Foundation. We had heard lots of presentations about the struggles developers have about signing code and trying to manage private keys and just what a mess it is. And that's kind of was the beginning of SigStore and the CoSign project, is just to make that really easy.
What's the mess? What's the trouble? What's the problem they have?
Well, it's keeping private keys secure. It's doing key rotation. It's understanding where they're being used. And if someone stole my key, like if it's being signed, if it's signing a malicious container or something.
Yeah.
So like monitoring all of that. And so, SigStore was one of the popular projects now. And the Salsa framework is another one that I launched while at Google. And it's giving a framework for supply chain integrity with a series of requirements with, you know, higher levels to make things more secure as you move up in level. And so, like, you know, these two projects that you can see how they can complement each other a bit. But these are some of the foundational pieces that we think we'll be using inside ChainGuard. Again, we're a week old, so we're, yeah, you know, talking to a lot of people and figuring out sort of their problems and how they think they're solving this. On Monday, we had security supply chain con day, I guess a negative one day. And SolarWinds came and gave the keynote, and it is excellent. Like, I definitely recommend checking it out. They went through the story of the attack, and then they actually found a lot of the open source stuff that we'd been working on, Tecton, for example. And they tried to put all these pieces together to just completely revamp their build systems. And so I think that's an opportunity for us in ChainGuard, is to kind of do something similar for companies. You know, a lot of companies, they can't hire these teams to do the right thing easily inside their organization. So I think that's kind of where we'll start.
Before they have to testify in front of Congress.
Right.
So Matt, does this trace back these issues to continuous delivery and continuous integration?
Yeah, so, you know, Kim mentioned, you know, Tecton, which is, you know, a big piece of the, a lot of folks, you know, Kubernetes-based CI/CD workflows. And so, you know, really, one of the key things is, you know, you want to be able to trace back from, you know, the fingers on keyboards, who committed the code, all the way to, you know, how that code got to running in production. And it's not just about the software you're shipping, but also the, you know, the dependencies you pull in. Something like 90% of software folks are shipping to their production environments is coming from open source components. So it's not just about, you know, knowing your own developers and what they're doing. It's also about sort of knowing sort of the provenance of how, you know, the things that you are depending on have been produced and handled and whatnot. And so there's some really great materials in the Salsa repo and some of these other repos that talk about sort of all the different sort of elements of the chain, the sort of edges and states through, you know, a typical software lifecycle, and how on every single one of them in the last year or so, there's a number of examples of attacks that have happened at every single edge and state within that graph. And it's scary, but, you know, one of the things we are trying to do is make it so that, you know, when you're running software in production or distributing software, if you're giving it to other people to run, right, you know, what you're running, how it got there, and all of these things, because, you know, a lot of people don't have answers to that today. And
maybe for those who are out there, you could tell us about the Sunburst incident.
Yeah, so Sunburst happened, I think, 2019, December 2019, December 2020. I don't know, too long ago. And what happened was attackers got into their build system and compromised a very popular piece, I think it's called Orion, piece of software that they were distributing. And the software got deployed, you know, to a bunch of their customers. Right. And then I don't think it was caught till six months later or something.
I don't remember the exact.
But anyway, huge impact. I think the numbers out there are $100 billion.
This is the SolarWinds.
Estimated impact. Yeah.
Yes.
And that's 100 billion of, like, you know, what's known, but like the implications in terms of national security and stuff like that are hard to quantify.
Right? Yeah.
And I think, you know, that was really when supply chain security kind of became more of a mainstream buzzword. And then we saw a whole executive order out from Biden. And so I think we're going to see a lot of things come down from the government side that potentially, like, regulated companies are going to have to follow certain things now.
And we're already seeing it with the executive order around SBOMs, but we expect, you know, more and more, and those things to work their way into various compliance things.
So how will you narrowly define your focus? Because this is such a huge and broad, you know, space.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think, you know, a good place for us to start is talking to these companies, like I mentioned, the ones that have already even found some of the open source tooling that we've built, and learning about their problems and trying to see if they're, you know, it's a good fit for us too, is having them kind of come on as a design partner as we really figure out what we're going to build. as a product. And yeah, so I think we'll cast a wide net initially in terms of like who we talk to, what type of industries. I think, you know, healthcare makes a lot of sense for us, banking. So all of these regulated industries, I think, are scrambling to try to make their supply chains more safe.
So who are you talking to? Are you talking to the developers or the security professionals or both or who?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a mix of both. But at the end of the day, I think these, you know, things get sold from developers. Like we want to make it easy for developers. And so, you know, the Sixth Store, if you look at it, it's literally like two lines of code or one line of code to sign something and then verify the signature. And so I think, you know, if we can help with the developers and the experience to actually do the right thing when they're developing code, and that's kind of how it will be our shoe-in to.
I think it will end up coming from both directions. I think it'll start from like CISOs, you know, wanting their organizations to have a better security posture. But if you don't win the sort of hearts and minds of the developers, they're gonna, you know, want to find ways around what you're doing. And so back to, you know, Kim said our mission was making the software supply chain secure by default, right? Like I think the sort of core of that, right, is I think the most successful tools that we've seen, you know, really in any space, make the sort of best practices and the right way of doing it, sort of the default, the easy path. And so we want to make it easy for developers to adopt this stuff, and to not want to, you know, reach around the things we are putting in place to keep them safe, because, you know, in a perfect world, it makes their lives even better to have those things there because we can tell them about things that they might not otherwise know.
When I talk to people about security in a developer world, there's all kinds of things that surface. I mean, we hear about shift left, right? And then others will say, well, you really should be, you know, thinking about starting from the absolute right side and, you know, and I mean, or the left side and going right, right? You know, there's all these different approaches. And I think that the Linux Foundation has dozens and dozens and dozens of projects that are out there. You know, I'm really curious on how you are going to define kind of that path for yourselves, because it does seem so broad. But it seems like signature verification is that just a big ample kind of target that you can hit? Is that a reason? Is there a reason why you're approaching starting there?
I think that gives us like a lot of some of the foundational building blocks and bringing and building some of these things out, because, you know, you need some sort of guarantee that this is the thing. You know, it's coming. It's being signed cryptographically. So, for example, like an SBOM. Like, if you can't verify the integrity of an SBOM, like, you know, is it? And so I think that is a critical component to all of this. Is you need to be able to sort of trace back cryptographically how things are.
Yeah, and I think one of the nuances in one of the talks, I think it might have been Matt Riley and Marina's talk, talked about how like signatures themselves aren't really, you know, the end goal, right? So you know, you could sign something, but it's really just like saying, you know, hi, I'm Matt, right? Yeah. What you really want to be able to do is things like SBOMs. You want to make claims about, you know, a thing, right? Like this is the set of things that went into this, and that then sign that, right? And then, you know, there's a set of people you trust to say certain things about certain things, and then you get to sort of choose how small a circle of trust that you let into your different environments, right? So I think that's you know, that's the next step once you've made signing easy, right? Starting to talk about stuff like
policy.
How you make these attestations and, you know, schemas around how you say different types of things, what folks want to say about what, and so on, and then policy around that sort of standard schema.
We're gonna have to conclude here, but I want to thank you very much for taking the time to talk about ChainGuard. I look forward to seeing its development.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening. Subscribe on Simplecast to listen to more episodes on the new Stack Makers. Create and share your favorite audiogram using our Simplecast player. For more articles and great stories, go to thenewstack.io.